Morning, Ian.
Mallory, how are
Doing all right. I don't know, nothing too exciting, I guess. Thanks for adding some stuff to that ticket about the WolfCon presentation.
Let me know if you want to try to find anything else before you go.
Yeah, I'm not going, thankfully, so or not thankfully, but I'll be here, so it'll just be easier to do things. So I
Gotcha.
don't have to worry about travel is all I mean. I think it might be easier to do the presentation with us all four being remote, so we'll see. Or all three. I'm doing it with Sean and Sarah from Caval.
Right on. Yeah. Where is it anyway? Is it in St. Louis?
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yeah, Missouri, Kansas City.
Right.
Right, enter two. Is there a Kansas City, Kansas too,
Kansas.
or?
Yeah, maybe
Yeah.
there is. Yeah. I saw a picture that was like backstage at a rock club in Kansas City, and it says like, remember you're in R Missouri, so like people don't come out of the stage and be like, what's up, Kansas?
Yeah. That's funny. I like that. Okay, so you see that Jakob's not gonna join for a few minutes, so maybe we can start anyway on some stuff. I don't know. I'll sh share this. Hey, Kurt. Hey, Jason. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Okay.
I guess before Jakob gets here, I have some questions that might be more for Ian. If that's okay, we can also wait for Jakob, but I'm meeting with Palsy today, so this is not related to Trove at all, but I have to go to their like open meeting, community meeting today, and they are gonna talk about old request either deletion or anonymization. And they have to figure out their own requirements, like how long they want to hold on to patron data, or like request data anyway. And then particularly because they have patron data in their request history from 2021 up until now, they're just starting to think like about what they might want to do. And so that's got to be scoped, but I'm going because they want somebody there to say like, yes, we can probably do something. But I was just wondering if you have any initial thoughts about either deleting things or trying to like wipe the patron data, and or just yeah, just general thoughts on this topic, I guess.
My gut tells me we shouldn't delete any requests. I don't know. I feel like that could cause issues that we might not anticipate. Especially if we have like other requests referencing that and like kind of previous or sequential request kind of stuff. I don't know. Think it's certainly something we would have to map out. I would be hesitant to just go in and start blasting requests in the database.
Hey guys, how are you?
Jakob, what's up? We're talking about request deletion and anonymization.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it should be too hard to like go through them and like just remove the patron data from them if that's what they want.
Right. Is that something we would want to add as a feature or something that I would just do in the database?
But like, we'll eventually want to delete them, right? Like, libraries run systems for 30 years and stuff. Do you really want 30 years of requests?
Or like maybe they could just be archived or something, like in like zipped or something, I don't
Or
know.
in, like in, they're still in MetaDB if you want to access statistics about historical stuff, but don't keep it in the live database that's being queried
Yeah.
every 2 seconds.
I wouldn't do anything in Mother West for now, Mallory. We already have the archival feature in the broker, so we can just enable that for Trove. And
This
then
is this go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say this is specifically a request that Palsy has, but it also Minitex is also interested in it. Trove, I know we have kind of handled with the broker, like you said, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it would fall in one of those additional features, right? Functionalities. So I don't know, is that something that they want to sponsor, or like what's the
Yeah, so
conversation with them?
yeah, Palsy reached out, and I'm going to a community meeting that they're having today to talk about like what their data retention policies are and whether they might be interested in deleting old requests or anonymizing old request data so that the patron information isn't there. And so they don't know what they they don't really have the requirements scoped yet, but they're starting the initial conversations around that. And I think that Palsy would be willing to help fund this feature. And Minitex has that on their grant list for coming up as well, so they might have some funding to contribute. And I know Carl said that that in addition to Palsy, that he's had conversations with James at IPLC Borrow Direct. So I think there's general interest in this being a an enhancement request that would get funded. There are, of course, there's some complications now that there's ViewFind My Account for these libraries, and if we'd like what we'd have like they might just be something they have to communicate to their patrons that they would get wiped out, but I don't know if we'd want to give them an opportunity to like export their history or something if they were interested in that. But anyway, I think there will be funding. I think it has general interest.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk with Seb, but it would be nice if we could maybe group all those enhancements and try to see if we can direct that funding towards the rewrite. Because as we discussed, right? I mean, adding this functionality is just wasted effort. I mean, if we get paid, nice, but then we just get paid once. If we could direct that funding towards the replacement, then that's better use of the money anyway. So I wonder if they're only early in the process, discovering those new functionalities they would like to see. Maybe we could try to tie it with the replacement.
I mean, maybe I don't know like what they're I think this is if the thing is like, yeah, we can do this, but we have to wait until we've done this replacement piece, like I think that's fine too. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
especially that we have the functionality already in the replacement, so it would be kind of pointless to add it here. And it's not trivial. I mean, doing it right, it's not trivial. So, yeah, especially the archival.
well, we'd still have to like do something with the request that they currently have, even with the rewrite. So like going forward, we will take care of it, but like what are we going to do with all the stuff that they have from the last 4 or 5 years in the already in
Yeah,
there?
just migrate them to the migrate them to the new system, and then keep the backup for the old one if they want to have access to the archival, right?
Yeah, I guess like I said, this is just like an initial conversation. I don't know if they know what they want or like how long they want to
So
keep things. So,
let's yeah, let's collect those things, right? Let's collect what they need.
yeah.
All those enhancements, so we can understand those requirements, and then we have the conversation about how we want to deliver that later. Because I want to exert pressure on everybody to move to the new system, right? Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with this shit for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and
So.
I think that the product team's like number one priority right now is understanding how we can get rid of ModRS and like what the timeline is going to be for that, because they know that that's preventing like enhancement requests from being done in a reasonable manner. So like they're very interested in this. I think they just want to understand what we're going to do, how long it's going to take, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And it also makes sense for the new system to do more, right? I mean, and do the stuff they actually need.
Right.
Otherwise, there's not so much incentive for them to migrate, because I think the conversation about moving to a new system, we need to include, hey, this is what you're getting. You're getting all those functionalities, right? And otherwise, it's like, what's the point for the customer to move?
Right.
Just, go through the hassle of migrating and have essentially the same functionality. That sounds to me like not a best selling point. Okay, but yeah, let's cut through this, and then we can discuss a little bit about how we want to deliver. And in some cases,
Okay.
like we discussed yesterday, I mean, we'll just need to do it on the old code base anyway, especially if it's like breaking the workflow or something. Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about the release? Maybe let's do like a sanity check.
So I think that involves mostly this 217, right? Kurt.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
current one, yeah.
You guys were talking about this a little bit on the channel, right? On the
Yeah,
yeah.
so I need to just make sure that, I've been digging through the transition stuff. I'm trying to make sure that when we get that expected supply, while it's in the pending cancel state, it should go into the expected supply, say, as opposed to getting stuck or whatever. But is the broker currently sending that? Is it ought to yet?
So you saw, don't know if you looked at the log I sent after my tests. So I did. Can you scroll down, Mallory? I'm not sure. Did you see
Yeah,
my
sorry.
question for it? So what's the expectation, Kurt? Because that's what I would like to know. When you
So I guess so I guess so so let's see. So the requester, right, is gonna send it's gonna say, reject the conditions, right? It's gonna send the rejection message to the supplier, but then it's also gonna send the cancel message. But the cancel message that it sends is going to have that specific supplier symbol, as opposed to the generic symbol that it's been using to talk to the broker, right? And in response, the broker should send back an expected supply message for the next supplier, right? And are we seeing that happen at this point?
We are seeing that happening,
Okay.
but that message that comes back, there are two fields in every message. One is the
Right.
status field, and the other is the reason for message field. When you do this cancellation, when rejecting the conditions, the broker is going to send you a cancel response, because it's a message that is a response to the cancel action. But the status is going to be expect to supply, and it's going to carry the new broker. And I think that throws ModRS in some weird state. Yeah. So I think Mallory's opening it up. So
Yeah, I was just trying to
try to,
find the
yeah, try
cancel
to get a little
response.
cancel response.
Okay.
That's the response to the cancel response. So you need to scroll down a little bit lower. Yes, you see this cancel response, Kurt?
Yes.
Reason for message cancel response, status info, expect to supply, and the agency ID, the supplier is already Brisbane. That's the next supplier.
Okay.
So in a way, you could say it compresses the two messages into one.
Okay,
It
so
doesn't.
I am going to modify that in a little bit, just to make sure that ModRS recognizes that. But I think I should be able to do that.
But we can also change that so that the so that this message, the one that we're looking at, instead of reason for message cancel response, we can make that reason for message status change, if that makes it simpler.
I mean, which do you think is more work in the long run? I mean, I could just add the transition in mod RS so that when it sees this cancel response, it knows to transition to its supply. I mean, and then we don't
In
have.
a way, I think it would be nice if it was really looking at the status rather than the reason for message. So if the status is expect to supply, my preference would be that it always goes to this request sent state, no matter what the reason for message is. Because like what really matters is the status. But you could argue either, I mean, this protocol is just, it's so childish in many cases, so it's like it's hard to say what the authors wanted to achieve. But basically, the status should really be the deciding element, I think, because in
Yeah,
a
I mean,
way this.
normally it's not going to transition based on a response unless it's a status chain message, right? But we can have a special handler for that particular cancel response and have it look at the status
Then
info.
that's fine. Then maybe let's fix it in the broker. If you if so, okay, just to make sure we're on the same page. If this message used reason for message status change, you would expect that the transition happens.
I would think so, but again, I always have to kind of refresh my memory on how all this stuff works when I go back into
Can
the
you
thing.
can you
So
Can you put in a test for this? Or is
yeah,
that.
well, let me think of how I would test this. I guess I would have to manually send that ISO message from just just mock up the ISO message coming in after the requester has gotten into this state, right? And then see if it transitions.
Or maybe just even do a manual test and just, post it with curl. I mean, if you were to take this message exactly and just change the reason for message to status change and post it with curl, is it gonna transition to the request sent to the next supplier, or is it gonna get stuck in this conditions pending?
Take a
That's
look at the
basically.
test that I added to the ILL broker spec in ModRS. There's I used the existing stuff there, and I didn't see a way to get the ILL mock to send a notification with unfilled. And so I did that part just by sending XML. But everything up to the stage where I did that, I was simulating as the rest of the tests were with the ILL mock. And so that got it right where I needed it to be, and then I could just have that one manual XML message. And that seemed to
Okay.
work out pretty good as a compromise.
I'll try to follow that pattern then.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it would be really helpful if you verify that it works today, Kurt, because if it works with the reason for message status change, I'll just have Janice change it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
But if we don't get that verification, then we are again looking at pushing this off to next week, right? Because it's
Yeah,
just
no.
this time zone difference. So,
Yeah, I should be able to get that verified today then. I mean, we can either yes or no on whether that's working.
well, if that works, then I think you don't need to make any changes really. So this is in the case of rejection, right? And in the case of regular cancellation, when you didn't change, right? Like regular cancellation is going to send cancel with the supplying agency set to the broker symbol.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, regular translation
Yeah,
just
so
doesn't.
that should just work like it does now. So you're gonna get a cancel response, which is forwarded from the supplier. So it's gonna look exactly like the one that you have right now. The only thing, I'm not sure we tested this, Mallory, if the supplier is Alma, and the cancellation is sent to Alma, like have we ever tested if that works? If Alma prints the cancel?
Canceling. I'm not sure that I've tested that explicitly. I'm trying to think.
Because
I mean,
that yeah.
I probably have some open requests in here that like like this is with the new school. These are with SUNY. Like I could try to cancel these and see what happens. Is that
Yeah,
what you mean?
but you need to have access to that Alma, right? Because
Yeah.
cancel is a two-step process. So you need to cancel first and then do, yeah,
All right, I can
approve or
try
reject.
testing with him to
Yeah.
cancel a request. And then I should make sure that I have another supplier after them.
You can, but in the Alma case, it's more important that we just see how this cancel response look like, because in the ModRS case, I mean, we already know that it works, because when ModRS talks to ModRS and the cancel response is sent, then we know that this is properly registered. So we're just gonna forward whatever they send. I'm just not so sure about Alma case. Especially this cancel response is completely ridiculous in this protocol. Maybe you know, Kurt, because that cancel response has a field called answer yes no.
Right.
And are you guys looking at that field
Yeah, I mean, if
to
that field's not populated when it comes in, then ModRS will complain about it and will say it's an invalid
Okay,
cancel
because
response.
there's also a status field, and the status can be canceled. So, like, if you get a cancel response which doesn't have that answer yes no field but has a status canceled, is it also going to assume that it's been properly canceled or not?
Last time I looked at the code, I saw like pretty much like if it gets to the cancel response and it does not have a yes or a no in there, then it's going to flag it as a as an invalid message.
Okay. So that would be my fear. I wonder what Alma does, like whether Alma is going to send cancel response with yes, answer yes, no, set to yes, or is it going to send a cancel response with status canceled? I mean, both are perfectly valid according to this protocol. It's like this, it's just ambiguous. So what we are doing in the broker is like we're looking at either the answer yes, no, set to yes, or status canceled. If either of those is true, then it's going to assume that it's been canceled.
Okay,
That's
I can test that as well.
yeah, it will be good to test. If it sets that answer yes, no to yes, then that should work with ModRS from what we're hearing. If not, then maybe Kurt needs to make some changes to also look at the status. It's just the protocol is pretty bad. Okay, so let's do this. So Kurt, let's just have it verified that the transition happens properly when you get the expect to supply message with status change. Reason for message status change, right? If that's the case, then I'll just have Yannis change it so that the expect to supply comes with the reason for message status change rather than the cancel response. So you'll never see a cancel response when you reject conditions, right? You reject conditions and then you will always get reason for message status change, expect to supply with the new symbol, or you will get an unfilled if it gets to the end of rota. Does that make
Sound good,
sense?
Kurt?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep,
So
I'll do
maybe
so.
actually, if you can test both, right? Also, that terminal condition. Because if there's no more suppliers, then you'll get unfilled.
Right.
And that should, of course, make a transition to the, yeah, whatever is the state it transitions to.
Okay.
And the fraud or something like that. What is the stage of when you
I
get
mean,
on fraud?
there's also the chance though that the supplier could reject the cancellation, right? And you actually would get a cancellation response with like a no, right?
Yes, that's true. So that's exactly right. So if you send a cancellation, that rejection, I should say, right? So that special case of cancellation when you reject the conditions, if the supplier refuses, you will get that cancel response back, and we won't select the next supplier. So the logic in the broker is as follows. If the cancel response from the supplier is okay, success, then throw away that message, move to the next supplier, and inform the requester about the new supplier. So that's the expected supply case that we were looking at in the moment. If the cancellation is unsuccessful, then it will forward that unsuccessful cancellation to you, and it will not do anything else. It won't move to the next supplier. Make sense? Yeah. So, but in that case, you will get the risk. I guess it's just a regular flow. It should already work, I hope.
Yeah,
You
you would
get
hope, yeah.
canceled response. Yeah. The only difference that the only thing is that the definition of successful cancellation in the broker is either answer yes, no, yes, or status canceled. So I think it's a little bit broader that that definition of what a successful response cancel response is compared to other us from what you're telling me, because it looks at like you guys are just looking at the answer yes, no, and we are looking at either or, because it's just not clear which one should take precedence. You know, this protocol is ambiguous.
Right.
So for
I mean,
mother
if we
us
need to,
again,
yeah, if, I mean, if
it's
we
not
need
going to
to,
be a problem.
no, sorry, if we need to broaden that,
Sorry.
we probably should make a separate issue to make it check both
You will
fields.
only need, yeah, but on the other hand, you only need to broaden this if Alma does something strange. Because if your supplier is smaller as, then of course it will set that flag, right? So the flag will be carried over. So I don't think we need to worry about that situation. So that's why I just asked Mallory to test with Alma, because if Alma doesn't set that flag but sets the status to canceled, then we will also consider that a successful cancellation and forward you the message, and that would make you break, right? That would make more or less confused, because it would get a cancel response without the flag. But we will worry about this later. So let's, for
Yeah, let me get the
Mother-OS
test
again,
made and
no
let's see
problem.
what's happening when
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
have it.
yeah, yeah. And so do the test with the static response, and please test those two cases, right?
Yes.
Reason for message status change shit, what was it? With status expected supply, make sure that it moves to the next supplier, or reason for message status change unfilled. That's gonna be the case where it gets to the end of RORA. And you can, if you want to be complete, to cover everything, and of course that the case of the unsuccessful cancellation, right? So cancel response with the answer is set to no. So that can of course be also the case if the supplier prevents cancellation. Yeah, so let's just get this tested, so we are know for sure that this is working in Mother OS, and then I'll have Yannis just change the small thing that the reason for message is set to status change.
All right.
So that's the last thing for like the release that we're currently working on, right?
Well, I think so. There were some other tickets from Jason, right? And were those completed successfully?
No, I think, yeah, I think this one's done.
I think I
No?
tested this and this didn't quite work for me. I left the notes for you guys.
Oh, I thought this was old. Sorry. Wait.
Hey.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is the example, right? I mean, there's no conditions and this banner stays up.
I'll look
Wait,
into it.
waiting.
I made an attempt to address that, but apparently it doesn't actually work for some case. So.
I'm sorry I didn't notice this. I feel like I should would have. I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah. So
Like
it
down here,
clears the
but
conditions, right? The conditions are cleared.
well, they're not clear. They're
And
still there. It just doesn't display them because they're not for the current supplier.
right. I'm talking from the user point of view, right? I mean, the console, so it doesn't show any conditions, but yeah. But this banner is confusing.
Yeah, no, the thing that displays the banner is supposed to check if the supplier symbol is matching. So that's odd to me.
What does it check, Jason? I'm sorry.
If the supplier symbol is matching. Here, oh, we'll find. It already did that. It just was checking the foreign key, and now I had to change. I just had to add the symbol to it, but I guess I didn't quite do that successfully.
Maybe.
The most recent commit on
Yeah.
UIRS is the one that I thought fixed that, and I thought I checked it too, but
Maybe it wasn't deployed. That's UI change.
that's true. I wonder if we deployed UI. That's a very good point. Did I deploy platform? So that commit was. Yeah, last week is not useful. Okay, September 11th at 5:36. Good. Platform. Troll. Deploy September 10th. Yeah, it wasn't deployed. That'll do it.
Okay, and when you deploy it, that banner should actually just disappear from that request, right?
Oh, we'll see.
No, no,
that's
but
what
I
I would
mean
hope.
it yeah, because what
It
I
just
mean
won't
is that
display it.
it checks. Yeah, exactly. So let's get it deployed and then please just verify with that request that I made, and if it's okay, then okay to close.
It should be about 4 minutes. You might be able just to hit reload in a bit here.
Yeah, and I think this one looked good, right? Mallory, you also tested this.
Yeah, I didn't do this with Alma, but they already send delivery costs, so I'm not sure why I thought I needed to do that. We didn't change anything about how we were translating their messages, right, to update the agreed cost. So, but I'm gonna reach out to Tim today anyway, so I can just do this at the same time.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, we were only changing the supplier. So if Alma's the supplier, we didn't change anything.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think it should be fine, but I'll just double check. And
I
then
guess while you're doing that, you might then just cut and paste. Like you just save the XML. So you can be like, here is actual XML exactly as it was sent by Alma in this situation. And then you could have a comparative snippet for here's the actual XML as it was sent by Reshare in this situation. That might be useful if you're going through that exercise anyways.
So just ask them for the XML from their system.
Yeah, maybe. Like with the protocol. If there, or is it
No,
not?
I
Yeah.
if you test it with 10 Mallory or with Alan, then you guys can go and fetch the XML from that log thing. Like there's this, remember that there's this place where you can get the XML and all mining.
Oh yeah, I can ask him to send it. Yeah. The
That's what I
XML.
mean. But
Like it's not really investigating this change at all because
it will also be in
that's
the Docker
already.
log also.
Oh, well, there you go. We already have it kind of that way. But it seems like if we're in some ways we're using this as preparation to change the way we do reporting. And so although we won't see this change involved in the ALMA message, that the ALMA message might be useful itself for confirming that what we're trying to do the reporting on is actually how it's sending it. But we kind of already know that from the sounds of it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think we do, but it can't hurt to. I mean, if we're already, I'm already gonna be talking to them. I'll just ask for it. They have it in their like attachment tab thing. So, okay,
Yeah, but you can
so
also just look at the broker log. So when you do
yeah.
the shipment from Alma and you set the delivery cost, then you should see two fields in the outgoing that you set, and then there will be also the offered cost that the broker sets. I sort of think you've checked that already. Yeah.
In the past, this was just, I was just wondering if anything we did in this ticket would impact that. And I don't think it will, but yeah.
No, because that's just not from the supplier, right? So
Okay,
you will
so we're
see. Yeah,
It's
sorry.
deployed
Yeah.
now.
Yay.
You go. There you go.
Okay,
Nice.
so now
Yeah,
we can mark this one done.
You can also
Right.
mark both of them down, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's fine.
Platform deploy fix this. All right.
Oh, Ian.
What?
I said, oh, Ian, could you
Yeah.
set the UIRS? Would it be sort of straightforward to get Platform Trove also redeploying?
A little less because it's in another organization, but I was just looking at that. I'll let you know if I figure it out.
All right. Thanks. Although actually, never mind, because it's also the case that it will often be a situation where in order to have some similar, like let's say we change or enhance some action with a new parameter, and it's an action that's used by both UI update and UIRS, that we might put a method in Stripe's reshare and then up and then have UIRS and UI update both call that. And so we wouldn't want it to want to wait for it to rebuild it three times. And it would also need to build it in the right order, otherwise it's not going to work anyways. Maybe that one is a bit too messy anyways.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I was thinking, I just add some sort of trigger to redeploy every time UIRS is updated. I mean, I know there are other modules in there, but that's kind of the main
Yeah,
thing.
and then if we are doing multiple modules, just update UIRS last. Yeah, that could work.
Okay, so that's it for the release.
Yay! Finally. Yes.
Wait, so everything is ready right now, or is there another change coming?
No.
Oh, there's another change for ModRS, right?
Yeah,
The P17.
I need to confirm or some things, and then there needs to be either possibly a change to ModRS or possibly a change to the broker, depending on what I confirm.
Okay, all right. So
maybe Kurt, maybe you could ping Ian later, right? I mean, if your tests are okay, then we don't need to change anything. So I think is the assumption, right? But we just don't have a way to verify right now.
So let me get that set up in the test, and I'll first start with sending the message it's already sending. I'll see what happens, and then I'll try it with the status chain message that we could possibly use, and either way. But I'll definitely let it know.
Yeah, check those three conditions just to be super, sure. Because if we're gonna make the release based on that, then yeah, just check it. Yeah. So if this test is successful, Ian, then Kurt can give you a go ahead, and then we can make a release. And we will make a broker change tomorrow morning. But that's it. That's gonna be separate anyway.
What about these, all of these exception tickets? Like, I don't know if any of these can be closed, or if we're waiting until we put this on prod, or like, if you're doing something, Kurt, to verify, or
So, I mean, I kind of have, which one are we talking about? We're talking about the one 203 here still, or something else?
Well, no, I'm just wondering about these ones that are in review. Like, can any of these be closed?
I think 204 is probably closable. I don't think we've seen that show up anymore in tests, unless I'm mistaken.
I think so. Yeah, I think we wanted to keep the Mallory in review until we verify that the exceptions are gone. And the only way to
Okay.
verify is actually to update to prod in some cases. But I think this optimistic locking is gone. Since Ian updated tests to the previous release candidate, we don't know, we no longer see those exceptions. So yeah, I think it's gone.
Okay.
You can maybe drop a note there. But after it was RC14 or something. What was the one released? RC14 maybe. Yeah, so our C15 no longer see the exceptions.
You said 15, or is it 14?
I think it was 14.
Okay. And these ones will wait until the production upgrade.
I think so. And Kurt, what about the other ones? What did we decide to do? I remember the Jason one. You said that it was harmless.
Yeah, well, the Jason one, I actually have, I have committed a fix so that we're no longer throwing we're not putting the exception into the message anymore.
Okay.
What it does is when it catches the exception, if it's the JSON parsing exception, all it does is just log like a simple info message saying that this wasn't JSON, so I'm not going to pull anything out of it. If it's any other kind of exception, then
Nice.
it will go ahead and throw that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's put this one in the review as well.
As an info message or status or.
I mean, basically, we shouldn't see it showing up in the exception reporting anymore.
Okay. We'll just put this in review, and then the best way to test this is to try to
Just
put
let it run.
a. Oh, okay.
Yeah, let it
All
run
right.
for a couple of days on prod and watch the channel. A very low
Okay.
tech way of verifying this.
Is
And
that
what about the
already, is that change, would that get captured in the release that Ian would be applying to Trove test as well, Kurt? You're
Sorry,
muted
on
if
mute
you're,
button.
yeah.
I mean, it should already be on Trove Test, I think, right? Actually, wait, no, it shouldn't. Sorry.
No. I think it's just
You're
gonna
right.
it's gonna be the
Yeah,
next release,
so
right?
it will be whatever the next time we,
It's gonna be in the one that Ian makes today if Kurt's given the go ahead.
yeah, sorry. Got a little confusing, I think, yeah.
Okay.
And what about this one, Kurt? Yeah, let's just
That one is
this.
still, I just have, I there's some there's one more thing I want to try in
Yeah.
order to see if I can get the session slash transaction behaving, but I haven't had the cycle to go back to that one yet.
Yeah. That's okay. We're not gonna block the release for them. And that was just like an epic version.
Yeah, umbrella or whatever.
Okay, so just keep this one here until this 203 is also moved into review.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And then I guess Jason, are you all set with what you're doing with these two tickets that are in progress?
Yeah, I just barely started them because I was
Yep.
facing those remaining things on Tuesday there, and then I wasn't working yesterday, so yeah. But I have what I need.
Great.
And then there's Mallory, do you have anything from Tro that needs fixing?
I have two questions. One is this one that you mentioned when I got back from vacation that they had been asking you about this, and I have since created this ticket because they Caval is interested in us updating this such that their reporting doesn't get all messed up. I think you have all talked about this with Julie before, but there's she said that you, Jakob, didn't think it was appropriate to make the change in MetaDB to switch the org ID to the new org ID and the new peer ID, but that if maybe we could change it in the database, that those changes would update MetaDB and then all of the requests would eventually be under the new org ID and peer ID for these two symbols. Ian, I don't know if you did get a chance to look at this at all, or if you're familiar with this, but something happened that these org IDs were wrong originally and they've been changed and now it's mucking up reporting for them.
Yeah, I was wondering how that happened. I did look at this a bit this morning. Why are the org IDs different now?
I think that they, well, I think NCSU, they just gave us the wrong one. And then NUWS is the one where they originally set everything up under NUWS colon W, which had a different org ID than the now NUWS tenant, which is also coincides with their Alma switch to using Alma. So it was, they're both basically Caval, I think, user data entry errors, or like, you know, realizing that they gave us the wrong information originally. Maybe it was Trove, I don't know, but.
But it was more than that, right? Because if it was just update to the org ID, then that would just update. So I, yeah, there must have been, like they changed the org ID, that's fine, but they also must have changed the symbols or something along the way.
Yeah, I think
Because
that's the
we
case with, I
would.
know that's the case with NUWS. I don't know about NCSU if they had a similar issue.
Yeah, well, we might not know. I mean, it's kind of hard to figure out.
Where's the org
But
ID kept? I didn't see that. I was looking through.
it's just a field in that directory response. It has no value. I don't think any part of the system actually makes use of that besides reporting. So it's just a
Okay, yeah, I
field
didn't see it.
that. But I don't think I told Julie that it shouldn't be changed in MetaDB. I mean, I don't know anything about that part. So, I mean, if it can be changed there and that fixes the reporting issue, then maybe that's easier.
No, I don't want to do that. It's supposed to just be
Okay.
a copy. I think it would mess up MetaDB to do that. Start editing it in
Okay.
there.
But
I
you
mean,
don't
I
have.
don't know. We could try updating one of these old org IDs, I guess, and see what happens. Maybe we could do that on a test thing. I guess we
Maybe
don't.
you could just change it so like the situation with the way this looks like in the broker is kind of strange because there's like this old peer entry. You know, the peer always gets created and it's identified by the symbol, right? That's what the peer is, and then it has this custom data, which is the directory data basically. So there are two since that August 29 or whatever or 18. There's this old entry which no longer has a symbol, and it has the old organization ID, and that entry is associated with the old transactions. And then on the 18th, a new entry was created with the new organization ID with the same symbol, it seems. And then that's the one used in the new transaction since August 18.
Yeah, I still don't understand how that happened. Like, I couldn't find anything in the tenant, in David's tenant spreadsheet creation thing that indicated that they changed anything like around that date. So I don't, it's a little concerning that I don't know like why
Yeah.
this happened.
I don't even know why. I don't even understand how that could happen. It looks like
We were
maybe the entry
having.
was removed, like maybe the entry was gone for a while. Maybe that could make it work like this. I can't remember what it's gonna do when it tries to refresh and then the entry is completely gone. I think it might actually remove the symbols from that entry. So maybe it was like completely removed for a while from the directory output for some reason, and then it was put back with the new data.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. But I don't know, to be honest, that's just speculation. So, but if you change the organization ID all that on that old peer entry, then I think we should be fine, no?
Oh,
Because
so
they use.
where's the peer entry in the database?
Did you put some of the links there? I sent a bunch of links to Julie at some point. Let me see if I can find it.
I have the you sent me the peer links the from the
Yeah,
broker. Let me see. I just pop those in here. These. I don't know which one's which though.
yeah, that's fine. Just put them both there and maybe just open one of those and we can see.
Okay, this is NUWS. This 4407 is
So that must be the good entry.
no, that's the old org ID, right? 4407. Oh yeah, and
Okay.
this 0B1, this is the old entry.
Yeah. And can you scroll down to the symbols section? Yeah, you see the symbol section, Ian?
Yeah. Wait, no, where is it? Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I do. Yep.
Scroll down a little
And scroll down, it's like under the little zoom bar thing. I don't know if it's possible to do that.
Oh, the zoom thing is hiding this shit. I don't like, I have
I
the
see it
same
now. There's
problem.
an empty array under symbols.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a table called peers, I guess.
Yeah, it's got this entry, and I think the easiest would be to change this org ID fields in that entry to the new value.
Where's the peer table though? I don't see that. Oh yeah, okay. All right. So
Here.
there's exactly one entry for a peer, right?
That's right,
And so if I
but
just leave the ID, CACE, et cetera, but I update the org ID to 2814, that might do something for us.
yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But
Do
that's
we
what they
have
want,
this?
right? Right, Mallory? I mean, they just want the org ID to be the same. We change on the old entries, no?
I think that's all that we need. I don't know, is it going to be problematic that the peer ID is also different? Or,
Not unless they're reporting on it, I guess, right?
okay. Well, Ian, would it be possible to update just NUWS, just the org ID to 2814, and I can let them know, and maybe they can do some like checking to see if that did what we need, or like, is that
Yeah, I mean, I could do that. Does that seem safe to do right now in prod, or is there somewhere we can try this?
well, there is a test MetaDB instance, but I don't know how you would update. Could you just update the Trove test mock entry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we should do that then and see what happens.
Okay, and there's some
But do you
requests
want,
in there. Huh?
but where do you want to change that EM? Do you want to change that MetaDB, or do you
No,
want
no, no. I want to leave MetaDB alone, and I'll update this peer
MetaDB? Okay.
table. Yeah.
Yeah. So it should be relatively safe to change this entry, this old entry, because that's no longer used by anything, because it's
Right.
got those
Okay.
empty symbols. It's got those empty symbols, then it means that it cannot be used by anything. Like it will never be found. But it has its ID, right? It has this ID and this UID, and this UID is a foreign key to the old transactions. So like you cannot remove it because the old transactions would prevent you from, you would have to remove all transactions. But the old transactions like no longer know, no longer actionable in any way, to be honest, because like the symbols are gone and stuff.
Hold on a sec.
So I think the easiest way would be, well, the easiest, maybe not the easiest, but the safest way would be to update that JSON blob with that custom data in this old peer entry and set the org ID to the new value.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just following along here. So in the okay, so in the peer table, there's basically a field that's a JSON B field called custom data, and it's got some
Got the product re-entry. Yeah.
yeah, right. So just enter update that custom data JSON blob to change that. Okay, I can do that. Yeah. Okay,
Yeah,
sure. I'll do that.
that JSON blob is verbatim direct re-entry, one to one.
Yeah.
And
Anchor.
so are you going to do this for NUWS, and is it going to be in prod, or is it going to be in test?
I guess I'll do it in test first, but if we can't really learn anything from that, then I'm willing to do that in prod since this is kind of an orphan entry right now, right? It's not gonna mess up new requests.
Yeah.
Yeah. New requests cannot use them. Yeah.
I'm just adding this for my own sanity, but how, I meet with Trove tonight at 6 p.m. Will this change have, like, is that like an immediate change in Trove? test MetaDB, or like would it propagate in the next
Yeah, it
eight
should break
hours?
through right away. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I have one other support like question. As you all know, Trove has a lot of holidays, and that was part of their RFP, not RFP, well, yeah, part of the RFP, but part of what we were supposed to deliver was a way for them to manage holidays and suspensions. But their first big holiday is coming up, and Caval needs a way to make like 80 plus libraries suspended for a particular holiday. And right now, the way that we're handling these suspensions is to remove their tiers by marking these columns as no, so that they effectively can't get a request because they don't have any tiers. But that's gonna be a lot to like go through all these batches and then have to try to remember which, are they a part of reciprocal and pay for peer or just one or the other? And then, like a day or two later, she's gonna need to go back through and change all of them back. And I'm just wondering if there's any other way besides trying to manage and keep track of 80 or more libraries, settings.
I
Well,
mean, I think
it's
that's
keyed on
kind
the
of their job, right?
state.
I'm sorry, you both talked, so I
Go
couldn't
ahead, Jason.
catch it.
Well, is it like a particular, and it also is New South Wales a province or a state, for example?
I think it's a state.
Okay,
Let
but
me.
it's the state that has the holiday, right?
Yeah, let me just I want to find that ticket so that
Like, could it
she
be as
sent me a
easy
novel.
as like the ILL mock could have another little another Google Doc or however great versus that just has a lookup table of states and holidays, and it could send the appropriate response based on, okay, so like every time it's about to send something, it can check that to be like, oh, actually, no, not that one.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like to me that it's either a feature, like Jason's talking about now, or someone's got to keep track of it. I don't, without having some sort of feature, I don't see a way around not knowing what it's supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Right, but like even if we don't implement a feature like that surely we should still build this as a script rather than have someone change all these things and then change them back. That just seems like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they want to give me a list of all the libraries that should be suspended at what date, I could script something.
Well, I think maybe more generally though, isn't there a standard or something, I think called JSON patch possibly, to express a change you want to apply to a JSON object? And then we could have a script that would just apply one of these patches to all the directory objects or something along those lines. And then that would be more reusable for any kind of bulk update operation that we want to do. Because it's kind of a
Yeah.
little bit silly. Because there's also a JSON query.
Yeah,
So,
definitely.
there's probably implementations of JSON query and JSON patch that will do this. So that if it really is this one big JSON file, we probably already have tools available to us to really conveniently do bulk updates. Like, it's not like we'd have to script the whole thing from scratch.
Right, I'm not concerned about the mechanism for scripting this. I'm sure it's very doable. I guess I'm more concerned about just having like a bunch of, managing the directory entries this way, I guess. Yeah,
Well, I think it's
that's.
like whatever we do, I mean, let's not change the workflow we have, because right now the workflow is that you have this crazy spreadsheet,
Yeah.
and that crazy spreadsheet gets updated, and then and it generates something, some automation generates a flat JSON file,
I mean,
and that
honestly,
needs to stay this way, right? I mean, until
maybe
what if
it's
there
just add
was.
a formula in Google Sheets.
So,
If
but
it's today, then it's no, otherwise it's, yeah.
what if in between the flat file and the spreadsheet in Google and the flat file that the mock uses, there was an optional series of transforms. So it's like the Google Sheets plus the transforms equals the flat file. And if either the transforms or the sheets get updated, then it reruns, kind of thing.
No, let's not go there. It's just additional complexity, and I think once we have a proper directory module, then it
Yeah.
needs to have support for, I mean, and it will be based on a built on a relational database. So we will have a calendar for a consortium network, whatever, like all kinds of crazy shit, right? Let's not overdo it. So
Yeah, let's
this
just
mock.
build that.
Yeah, this mock is really meant for serving a static file. So if we really need to add the calendar opening times now, then I'm with Ian, and maybe we could even just have a separate sheet in the same spreadsheet, and then do a Excel formula to populate that or whatever, right? But at the end of the day,
I like
this is
that
our
better,
entry.
Jason. I like that way better than adding a bunch of crazy crap. I mean, not crazy necessarily, but like, the more we make the creation of the directory like a weird operational task, the less it's going to be a real module at any point.
Yeah, but this is a perfect example of something that we started with the spreadsheet because it felt, oh, it's gonna be very simple, right? You just put in some data, we have a script that generates a JSON file. But once you start adding feature, this is basically where we land. We need to start adding features, and then suddenly the spreadsheet becomes our database application, right? I mean, that's the
Yeah,
goal.
that's kind of how it is already. So,
Exactly. So I would say that, if we really have to do it, then we need to do it this way. Otherwise, let's just wait for that directory module to be ready. That's the whole point of it, right? That we have a management console that can do all those relationships. So, Mallory, they need this, like, we need to, when do we need to deliver those opening days?
Their first big holiday is next Friday. So, yeah. So they have this one, 85 tenants. This is for Friday, September 26th. And then immediately after that, they have an even bigger holiday on. Sorry, I can't find it right now. Oh, Monday, October 6th affects all of these states, so it's an even bigger batch. The other complexity that she talks about here is like deciding when to make the changes so that the automated jobs that David set up will apply the changes. And she's like, well, do I do it now so that people have to quit working by 4 p.m. the day before, or do I do it in the morning? And then, what about people who, and it's just like, it's kind of complicated and
It's just
annoying.
that's the payoff for doing the spreadsheet thing, really, is that we don't have a management application, we have a spreadsheet.
But why don't we, it's one thing that I don't understand. So is the idea that it's gonna remove the directory entry if it's suspended?
The idea is that we would, like, right now she would have to do this manually and change all of these reciprocal and pay for peers to no, so that they would have no
Sure.
tiers. Yeah.
Yes.
So they still have a directory. They just a directory entry. They just can't can't place or receive requests because they won't have
So,
tiers.
So what's the idea with the calendar? That it does the same, that it removes the tier, but
Jakob, are you talking about like looking forward to actually building an application or how to handle this in this spreadsheet? Because I mean, in an
well,
application,
I
it would
just
make
wouldn't.
sense not to
Yeah, I
mess with
mean,
this, but to have some other thing like suspended or, you know, whatever. But for now, I
well,
guess I just had to
I guess
figure out a way to change
I'm
these and
just
change it back.
sure, but I'm just trying to understand why we need to suspend for holidays.
Yeah, that's also a
Why
good
don't
question, I
what
guess.
why don't we why don't we just add a calendar and then we add a feature to the broker? It needs to be implemented, but the feature that looks at the opening times and it just removes it from the rota if it's closed, right?
Yeah.
And the problem of her having to synchronize with the, actually suspend on the very day where the holiday is, then that it goes away because that will not have any impact on it.
Right. Well, I mean, is that something you
I
want
just
to try?
question, I just question the whole approach of dealing with this by making it suspend in the directory. And by suspend, again, I understand that when we say suspend, we mean that it gets removed from the tiers, right? To make it disabled, basically.
Yeah, so I guess like this handling suspensions where it's a one-off where a library is closed for a week because they're doing construction or something, it makes sense just for them to manage that
Yeah, that's
here.
fine. Yeah.
But if we have a calendar where it's like these states on these dates need to be removed from the rota, like that might be a better way to then we don't have to remember what their settings were in here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's the only sensible approach, right? So they, for now, the only thing, I mean, the execution of the opening time should be done in the broker or in whatever system is building the rota, not the system that is producing the directory entry. So I think that we shouldn't do that because then you get into all those problems where they need to suspend and make sure that it actually gets suspended. What if, like, even if we had a real directory, what if there's always some caching involved, right? It won't take effect immediately anyway. I mean, we do have caching in the broker, so it's like, no, that's where dragons lie. No, let's not go there. So I think we need to attach a calendar to this spreadsheet so they can express opening times and they can or holiday days. And have flexibility to link it to institutions, right? Especially if it differs state by state. And then we just need to have the automation produce those holidays in the flat output, flat JSON file. And then we'll add the feature to the broker to consider them when locating suppliers.
However, do we actually want to have these dates expressed on the record for each institution in a state rather than
I
as a
think
property
so.
component?
I
So,
think
like,
so. I you know.
the same data will be for all the libraries in the state. Like, it sounds like potentially all of these are going to be based on the state.
Yeah, but then Jason, when think a little bit further, right? You're gonna build the proper management tool for this. You're gonna have some defaults for the network, and all of them will use the defaults. And then the library gets closed for construction for a week, and then you want to change the closing time just for that library.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't have the ability for that library, but I'm saying we should have some ability to specify things on a state level because we know we have a set of holidays that happen in the state level.
But we will have the ability to define something on the state level. It will just be produced as a flat file. I mean, once you have a relational database, you can put it on any level you want, right?
Well, so do we need to have something for next Friday or whatever? I mean,
I'm just thinking David will not be excited about adding a calendar sheet to support this by next week. Like there's just I don't think there's any way that would happen. Well, I mean, I think it's a lot to ask
No,
any of you to do
that's true.
something that fast, but I'm just that's like we can do that. I think it's a good idea, but I don't think we could be expected to for him to do that by next week. I just know he'll be really excited.
So for next week, do we need to just let them manage it, or do we need to like do some, sort of script or whatever to set this?
I don't know. I
Mallory, just kind of on the side. I mean, do those requests really get acted on immediately
Yeah, like that's
by
kind of my
suppliers?
question. Like, if they're closed and
Like
they get
what the
requests,
hell?
like, what
I
happens if
mean,
they
I
just
do
get it
they
tomorrow?
ser yeah, I
If a
mean,
tree falls in the
seriously cannot
forest.
wake up a day.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, could they just like ride not having staff work for a day and have requests queue up for a day? I don't know why this is such
Right.
a big deal. I can also try to ask them about that tonight. I mean, I guess like maybe they would want to shut off whether they support express requests because, but they should have request aging that would push those out of their tenant within 2 hours anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, if it's something that they really, really need, it's possible to script it. My only worry is that I just don't want to get stuck in the business of like, doing all the features of an actual module in this weird spreadsheet or and kind of glue scripts between and stuff like that. I would prefer not to be in that business, but we'll do whatever needs to be done, I guess.
Okay, I will talk to them tonight and try to figure out like why they feel that they need this right this second. But also, should I create tickets for the other idea though? Just David creating a calendar sheet and then a ticket to for the broker to consult those entries once they're present. Like, does it make sense to still do that as like a longer term plan?
Yeah, I
Because
think
we're gonna have to
so.
do
I
this
think
at
so because,
Christmas and New
yeah,
Year's and
because,
stuff too.
yeah, I think it makes sense because the logic will be the logic to prevent the request getting sent out needs to be in the broker. So we need to add it anyway. Like we talked about adding it. So I think it makes sense to do it. It's we will need to do it one way or the other. The needs of having that in live in the spreadsheet is maybe a open for discussion, but I think if we're not going to have a proper management console for this anyway within the next couple of months, so yeah, so I don't really see a different solution. Plus, it shouldn't be a big deal, right? So he just adds a calendar sheet where you can define some holidays. And did you say, Mallory, that it needs to be different state by state?
The holidays.
Yeah.
Some holidays apply only to one state, some holidays apply to multiple states, and some holidays are national. So I think there will be like a couple different varieties of holidays that we have to track.
We
Yeah.
have state
So he
holidays
will
in
need to
Canada, and we don't have state holidays here. Anyway, get out of here, Australia.
yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
Yeah, all
the
that
only thing is
stuff of
that then.
states, right? They can't even have their own holidays.
Yeah, we don't have. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's like a holiday in Michigan that we take off work and no one else does.
Yeah, I can't think of any like that here either. Australia is special. Ian, I will get in touch with you if like I think I am worried about her managing 85 entries and then having to redo it and stuff. Like, I know, like, I
mean,
just feel like there's room for error,
this is kind of
but.
silly, but like if these are the entries, can they just copy and paste those two columns into an extra sheet and then paste them back when they're done?
I mean,
You know, I mean, I can do that automatically through a script or whatever, or I can just, you know, whatever. But yeah.
yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah,
Yeah, and
just let
I
me know
can help her.
what the requirements are, and I'll figure out a way to do it either by messing with the Google Sheet or, like Jason said, doing some kind of, you know, translation or whatever for now. But I just don't want to like make them depend on, you know, setting up these kind of custom transforms and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it might just be like, yeah, like we'll add support for this, but we don't have it right now. So for the first two holidays, you're gonna have to do it yourself. Like maybe that's just the solution, but I get that this is kind of a will be a pain for her. So,
Okay.
but maybe also maybe one thing is like I might be able to ask David to add, right now he does the processing only. At these two times, like if there's a time that would make this better for her or something, like maybe I can ask him to just add another processing. I
Yeah, I
don't
mean,
know
we
if
can
that's.
just kick it too. Like, you know, it runs on a schedule, but it also runs on dispatch. So you could just say, you know, update these and I'll update it. And then we'll set it back too. So it's an option too.
So yeah, that's a good point. Like at least the processing we could adjust to a time that would be easier or like
Right.
do it. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, let me know what the result is and I'll help figure out a way to manage this for the upcoming holiday. Sure.
All right. Thank you very, very much. Now that I've taken a lot of your time, everyone's time. I think those were the only things that I had left. I don't know if there's any other, if you guys have any topics that we should talk about before we go.
Yeah, so let's just wait for Kurt to give us the heads up later. And I'm gonna be away next week. So Mallory, maybe I don't know if you spoke to Tara, but it would be nice to get us take a stab at those ZFL tickets, right? Just be good.
Yeah. There's these two, and I know Jason already has a couple
And
in
Kurt
his
has one
queue.
too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's where we'll want to focus for now. And then, yeah, I guess that's a good point, Jakob. Like, I don't know if the ZFL tickets that we have right now are enough to keep them busy all next week. So I don't know if there's
Yeah,
stuff
there's
that we can
minus.
do the Ramson's one.
Yep. That is
Yeah.
potentially, unless it goes just like really smooth, there's stuff there for sure.
Yeah, let's try to give some love to the ZFL guys because they've been neglected for a while. So
Okay.
yeah. So if you could assign those, Mallory, and then maybe check with Tara if there's anything, or Deborah, if there's anything else that needs to be looked at. They keep on
Okay.
raising stuff.
I will find out their priorities. If we do upgrade Trove test and they get more feedback, there might be something that comes out of that as well. So we'll, I'm sure we'll have things to do.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Jacob.
you.
Right, have
Bye.
a good one. Bye.
I'll be in touch.
See ya.